Hello, hello, everyone. Blessings. We are live. Amanda Grace here with you. Yes, it is September 25th, 2024. Welcome, welcome. It's getting a little chilly in New York here. It is starting to creep in. Probably for some of you as well near the East Coast. Hello to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. I see people from upstate New York. Hello to our neighbors in upstate New York, Scotland. Hello to our friends in Scotland and Canada. Our international audience, Washington, Indiana, Tennessee, Texas. God bless Texas. We love Texas. Okay, Georgia. Let's see who else. Albany, New York. I went to Siena College, which is literally 15 minutes from Albany, New York. So I know exactly where that is. Let's see. California is coming on. Multiple people in California, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Massachusetts. Breezy Point, New York, Canton, Ohio, Rockland County, New York. Rockland, I believe, is across one of the bridges because I've been to Rockland County many times. Actually, Chris, when Chris had his rupture and he had to be transferred to a rehab facility, he went to Helen Hayes, I believe, which it could be considered near Rockland County. And hello to everybody else jumping on. We're so happy to have you. Our moderators, our Ark of Grace team, thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So we have a jam-packed night tonight that we have to discuss. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up in prayer, and we're going to get right into it. We're going to do announcements at the end. So hello to, I just saw one from Brooklyn coming in, one of the boroughs. The boroughs are starting to come into the chat now. Welcome, welcome. Okay, go Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, wonderful place as well. It's near Tulsa, and Clay Clark calls Tulsa, Tulsa-Rusalem, for any of you who are wondering. So he has coined that name, and so yes, Broken Arrow is near that. All right, let's open up in prayer, give this over to the Lord, and I'm going to explain to you what we are going to talk about tonight to understand prophetically the time we're in, and what we need to do as believers, because we truly are in a time very similar to Daniel's. And so basically we're going to get into that as well. So let's open up in prayer and then we'll get into tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you tonight, Lord. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We come before your courts with praise and thanksgiving, Father God. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you today, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. Forgive us of every single way we sin and fall short, for we all fall incredibly short of your glory, Father. We praise you. Your mercies are new every single day, Lord. And Father, we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And he rose again in 3 days miraculously, ascended back into heaven, defeated hell, death, and the grave, took his rightful victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is our advocate without ceasing, Lord, day and night before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, to fill this place, Lord, that your power, your glory would mightily move, Father God, that it would go forth and people would tangibly feel your presence, Father God, that the weight of your glory would go forth tonight, Father. Lord, I ask you, fill me, Lord, in Jesus' name, and those watching with your wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Go before me tonight, Lord, in your wisdom, Father God. Go ahead, Father God. Order our steps tonight in Jesus' name, Father God. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, Father God, Lord, that truly you lead us and you guide us, Father God, that you prophetically lead tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, allow us the humble privilege of being vessels of your power, Lord. And Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter, and most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. Every breath we take is because you breathed into us your spirit. We are the dust of the earth without you breathed into us, Father. You are the author and the finisher, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, Father. Let your name be glorified above all, Father God, Lord, that you would minister tonight, that the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, would be the counselor tonight, Father God, for those watching, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Amen and amen. 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 And Baruch Hashem to our Jewish brothers and sisters watching. Praise the Lord. Praise be to God. Okay. So welcome to those of you who were jumping on during prayer. Let me get up my notes. So let me tell you how I started this. I had started touching on the time of Daniel weeks ago prophetically. Actually, it started back in 2022 when I had the dream about the three demons standing before me. And from that dream, talking about it, I had said we are about to enter the time of Daniel. And at church on Sunday, there was a pastor speaking that came from the Syracuse office of Faith Assemblies of God. He was quite good. And he started talking about the book of Daniel. So I knew, praise God, I was on the right track. So I took some notes from what he, so you could go to the gathering, Faith Assembly, their social media, and that sermon is on there. But I decided to take a deep dive. I decided to take it and go deeper for all of you because given the situation of what's happening in our nation right now, we need to prophetically understand where we are, what we are to do as believers right now, what we are called to do as believers right now. We need to understand this because we are in a situation right now of hostility. We are in a situation of persecution. We are in a situation of threats. We are in a situation where things have reached a boiling point, per se. And so basically, because of that, we have to understand where, as believers, we need a compass. We need a point of reference to help us prophetically understand what we are facing right now and what we are to do as believers in such a culture that we find ourselves in. And so we're going to go through this prophetically. We're going to go through this. We're going to start with in the book of Daniel. We are going to go into some other books also, but we're going to prophetically tie some things together here because I'm going to tell you why. Prophecy is wonderful and it is amazing. But if you don't prophetically, through God's word, understand the ways of God and the times and the seasons and how God moves, you're going to have a very hard time with prophecy. You're going to have a very hard time with going deeper with it unless we do that. So it's meant to go together. It is meant to go hand in hand, these things. So let's see here. And welcome to everybody jumping on right now. I see you guys coming on in the chat. Welcome. So let's go to Daniel 1, verses 1 through 7. And help us, Lord, as we go forth. Thank you, Lord. So it says, Daniel chapter 1, 1 through 7. That's where we're starting. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God from the temple, which he carried into the land of Shinar. Remember that word, Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Verse 3, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Okay, so that's where we're going to stop. Shinar. So they talk about Shinar in here. Remember the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. Shinar was the location of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 10:10. So it mentions that Nimrod, a descendant of Ham, built Babylon, Uruk, Akkad, and Calna in Shinar, in the plain or valley of Shinar. And that was the site that had been chosen way before Daniel's time to construct the notorious Tower of Babel. Whereas punishment for doing such, the people's wickedness, God confused their languages, and thus the land of Shinar earned the name of Babel or Babylon, and it talks about that in Genesis 11. So Babylon and Babylonia both derive their names from Babel, which means confusion. So Babylon at its core is confused, and from confusion comes chaos. From confusion comes deception. From confusion comes instability. From confusion comes lies. From confusion comes idolatry. Confusion is the root of much of that. Now, Shinar is mentioned again because after taking Jericho, the Israelites failed in conquering Ai because of sin in the camp when Achan stole the devoted items from Jericho, which included a finely crafted, beautiful robe from Shinar. So you see, every time there's a scuffle, every time there's a problem, every time there's a bubbling up, right, in the Old Testament, a lot of it ties back to this valley of Shinar and Babylon. Now, I'll go back to Daniel now to give you that background. So Nebuchadnezzar takes articles from the house of God and brings them back to Shinar. So Shinar is like ground zero for rebellion, for idolatry, for building towers to make a name for oneself. Sound familiar? Ground zero for building towers. So the Babylonians were also called the Chaldeans. That's why they're mentioned as such in Daniel. Now, interestingly enough, if you take the word Chaldean, the word Dean, D-E-A-N, is in Chaldean, like the deans of these godless colleges who worship at the altars of wokeism, secular humanism, transgenderism, BLM, PLO, and others. The dean oversees such, okay? Marduk was the false god that the Chaldeans or the Babylonians worshipped. He was known as the dragon with a forked tongue. And his representation of it, which adorned the city's walls, was prominent. So Marduk is their god, the god of Babylon. Mark, M-A-R-K, is in the word Marduk. Dark is also in the word Marduk. So Mark is in it first, right? Mark is in Marduk, such as Mark of the Beast. Dark is also in there, right? And when it's dark, you cannot see. A dark mark. Babylon is referenced multiple times in Revelation because Genesis, the beginning, is connected to the end because God knows the beginning from the ending. He's the first and the last and the Alpha and Omega. So Genesis is connected to Revelation. So you see Babylon show up in Genesis. You see Babylon again show up in Revelation. Now, to understand what Nebuchadnezzar was doing here, because this is very important for the current state we are living in this nation. When he took the articles from the house of God, and he took it and he brought it back to Shinar, and he took those articles from the temple and put them in the temple of his god, Marduk. In ancient times, when one nation conquered another, they would strip the temple of the god of the conquered nation and put it in the house of their god to show their god was superior. So by Nebuchadnezzar stripping the house of God, listen to this because of the time we're in, taking those things out that were precious and putting them in the house of his God. He was trying to show that his God was superior. The one problem with that was God did not hand Jehoiakim and Judah, Marduk didn't hand Jehoiakim and Judah over to Nebuchadnezzar. God handed it over. And then Nebuchadnezzar turns around and tries to give credit to Marduk for what God gave him. And if you think about the church of today, you've got this Babylonian culture stripping and taking out of the churches what is sacred and supposed to be in the churches and trying to put it in the house of their God, their God of transgenderism, their God of wokeism, right? Their God of the PLO, the BLM, communism, you name it. They're doing the same thing. It's the same spirit. It's just doing it in a modern way. So Marduk doesn't give Nebuchadnezzar this victory. God does. So at this point, Nebuchadnezzar is puffed up into believing Marduk is greater because he conquered Jehoiakim and Judah. Now, this is a setup by God to humble Nebuchadnezzar ultimately. So this is a setup. Now, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to weaken the identity of the nation of Judah. How he does this is he asks for the best, the brightest, the most handsome young men from the royal family and the nobles to be educated to serve in his court. He does this in order to absorb all that strength from Judah into Babylon. So the best of Judah is taken and absorbed into Babylon, making Babylon stronger off their gifts, talents, and abilities, while making Judah weaker. Now, this is happening to the church now, too, because this culture of wokeism is trying to absorb some of the best of the church. Some of those that are supposed to be these incredible shepherds absorb them in, and they are making their culture of wokeism, their culture of rebellion, their culture of idolatry stronger off of absorbing part of the church and its gift, talents, and abilities into that culture. So Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon wanted to swallow the identity of Judah and make them assimilate to their culture. Now, since the Babylonians worshiped Marduk, they were highly superstitious. They were very into astrology. Daniel was one of the ones taken to be taught and educated to serve the king. He is paired with exorcists, astrologers, and magicians. Daniel and his three friends, who we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrust into an occultic environment and made to operate in it. They are thrust into a culture where they are intentionally indoctrinated and forcefully assimilated. They have nothing left from their own life except the fact they belong to God. Everything else has been stripped away by Babylon. This can apply to our school system in today's age. The school system has become so Babylonian in nature that it tries to absorb your child's gifts, talents, and abilities right into it to make it serve the school system's agenda of inclusion, of wokeism, of communistic ideals. And they try to absorb all those gift, talents, and abilities God gave your child and absorb it into their monster and machine in order to grow and strengthen their kingdom, their empire. Now, so they're thrust into a culture where they are intentionally indoctrinated and forcefully assimilated. They have nothing left from their own life except the fact they belong to God. That is the only thing that Daniel and his three friends have left. Everything else has been stripped away, taken by Babylon, and used to strengthen the Babylonian empire. So we see this with Abraham, with Joseph, with Daniel, that when God is in the process of forming a new identity in someone, he moves much of the old out. He allows us to intentionally be stripped away. And when that happens, one or two things happen to people. They get into a process of complaining and of bucking back on God and of playing poor me, or they strengthen their resolve in the Lord, and the Lord is able to birth them and this new identity in them that the Lord is doing, even though it may look like the environment they're in is not favorable to that. So Daniel and his friends go from having freedom in Judah back into exile in Babylon to build in them a new identity. This can be a painful process, but a necessary one in order to build in them a new identity so they can rise to the positions and operate in the positions God has ordained for them. Because remember, we're supposed to occupy until the return of Christ. That means even in a hostile Babylonian pagan empire, Christians are supposed to be in pivotal positions. Believers, Jews, are supposed to be in pivotal positions to influence for the kingdom of God. So it doesn't matter where God moves you. It matters more what he's doing in you. That matters more, what he's doing in you, not where he moves you. So we'll apply this now to the American culture where we currently find ourselves as believers, because our identity in Christ is meant to transcend our American culture, society, even the American church culture that is so prominent in the United States of America. Regardless of who is the leader of this nation, our identity in Christ should transcend that. Our identity in Christ should transcend who sits in the highest seat in the land. So in this present day, we find ourselves living in an identity swallowing culture. Just as Daniel found himself in the identity swallowing culture of Babylon, there is a reason we see the gospel thrive and the church rapidly grow in countries where they have outlawed the gospel. Because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And when wickedness, paganism, idolatry attempt to swallow the gospel in these nations that outlaw such, the gospel has the power to enlighten, transform, and transcend even what's outlawed in ways these false religions do not. Paul said our identity in Christ needs to transcend culture and the current condition of the nation. Another way to say such is it needs to eclipse it. We should be eclipsing the culture, people. The culture should not be eclipsing the church. And half the church right now, the culture has eclipsed it. We are meant to eclipse the culture. The culture isn't meant to eclipse the church. And half the church has been swallowed and absorbed by the culture to strengthen a culture that is in direct opposition to the things of God. So when we head into environments that may not be favorable conditions toward Christians and believers, we must remember we are called to be leaders and servants. God has called us to stand out because we belong to him. His light in us is meant in dark areas to begin to drive away the darkness, because God's sacred order of time is that darkness must buckle and give way to the light. In Genesis, it says there was evening, then morning one day, because the darkness has to submit and give way to the light. So the greater the darkness, the greater each piece of light becomes. A small light can burst through and illuminate in the darkness and expose what is there and drive it out. You want an example of this? Go in a dark bathroom, a dark room in your house. Turn on a tiny flashlight on your phone. It will drive out the darkness where you can actually see, where you can actually see around you. That's how powerful light is. Light has more weight and authority than darkness. So ask yourselves, with the condition of what is happening in the nation currently, how firm is my identity in Christ? Does my identity in Christ transcend the culture? Does it transcend the media? Does it transcend the American church culture? Does it transcend who sits at the highest seat in the land? So Daniel and his friends moved from a society affirming culture in Judah to a society swallowing culture in Babylon, the direct opposite of what they were living in Judah. So in Daniel 1, chapter 1, verse 8, we see the beginning of Daniel's intentional decision not to defile himself. And he makes this firm decision that he's only going to eat vegetables. He's not going to eat the portions of meat and wine that have been given to him from the king's ration. However, this puts Daniel and his friend's life in more danger and not less. Now, this is way more than about just vegetables, right? I don't know if any of you have done a Daniel fast before. I hear it is not easy, but this is way more than just vegetables. What's going on? This is way more than Daniel deciding he's going vegan. This has way more depth than that. So Daniel purposes in his heart that he's not going to defile himself, right? Because why? Not only because of dietary laws, right? Yes, the Jews had dietary laws, but it goes beyond that. One very serious point in this is that the portions of meat and wine that were from the king's ration were being offered to and blessed by the name of Babylon's god Marduk. Therefore, Daniel would have been consuming food that was sacrificed to idols and then intentionally put in the Hebrew men that were brought into Babylon's court to be taught in order to forcefully assimilate them into the ways of Babylon. So Daniel and his three friends, their resolve to not do this, first of all, is identity-based resolve. So Daniel was behaving differently than even other Hebrews in Babylon. So not all Hebrews felt the way Daniel did. Some of them did eat from the king's rations. Some of them didn't see a problem with eating meat and wine that was being sacrificed to and blessed by their god Marduk. However, Daniel was set apart for service to the Lord. He had a higher call on his life. So their objection, Daniel and his friends' objection, was based on their love and devotion to God and serving him, even in a hostile Babylonian environment. Their love and devotion to God transcends and trumps the hostile environment in Babylon. Their decision was also faith-based, because this decision could result in suffering, but God could sustain them on what the Babylonian eunuch saw as less than what everyone else was getting. God could still sustain them on that, and they would not look any more withered or weak than the others that were eating those portions of meat and wine. Their decision is also based in the fear of God, because they care more about what God thought than the king and his captors thought at that moment. They had no power over their souls. So the king and his captors had no power over Daniel and his friend's souls. Their souls belong to God. That is an area that God occupied, and that Nebuchadnezzar and the king's captors that were overseeing these men could not occupy. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning and the preeminent part of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding and spiritual insight. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. Their decision is based in the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom and a preeminent part of it. Their decision was based upon humility and it was private. They didn't announce to everyone in the king and in the king's court what they were doing. Even in this environment, they had humility and respect for their earthly captors. They considered the position their teacher would be put in by allowing them to do such and just eat vegetables and be tested for a certain number of days. This is why Daniel comes up with this and says, just test us for this amount of days. Just test us and see what happens, because they had consideration of the position they were putting their captor in, that they were putting the eunuch in that was overseeing them. Oswald Chambers said, if you fear God, you fear nothing else. If you do not fear God, you fear everything else. And that is true. If you fear God, you don't fear anything else. But if you don't fear God, you will fear everything else. Everything else the enemy tries, you will fear. So what happens here is they are private in the beginning about this. However, later on, this will come a very public situation in Babylon. So this resolve they have in their faith in the Lord. Okay, so their resolve here, their faith in the Lord, the positions them for the future influence and impact they would have in the nation of Babylon in ways the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the magicians never could. So the resolve in their faith was actually positioning them for the future influence that would impact the entire nation of Babylon in ways the astrologers, the sorcerers, the magicians, the occultists never could, because they are operating in a power that is inferior to the power of Almighty God. That godly resolve in our own lives begins with the small things, serving God in private with no one looking. When no one is looking, will you do what God is asking you to do just because he asked? That is where it starts. That is where God starts building our resolve. This is where he really starts building our ability to submit and ability to do things just because he told us to do them. One of the things we could take away from the early chapters of Daniel and his life is when you gain victory in the small and private areas of your life, when your resolve grows and with it your obedience to do what God is asking you to do, watch what the Lord can do with that, because he can increase it in ways you never thought from such a foundation. And it's true. God expects you to gain victory in the small and private areas of your life before he's going to give you anything greater to steward. Because if you can't gain victory in the small and private areas of your life, you will make a mess publicly when he gives you more. And this is why he begins to train you in obscurity and privately and in your struggles. He helps you gain victory over it when you submit, because then when he gives you greater, you are walking in a position of victory rather than a position of defeat. So Daniel chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. And at the end of 10 days, so for 10 days, the eunuch tests them and just gives them vegetables and water. Daniel humbly asks them to test them. Daniel and his friends have a lot of faith that their God, Almighty God, can sustain them. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Beware of their delicate dainties, for they are deceit. The delicate dainties of the king of Babylon carried with it the deceptions of Babylon that then they were feeding to the young Hebrew men in that court that Daniel denied. So verse 16, thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Verse 17, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers. I want you to remember 10 times. I want you to remember that number. He found them 10 times better. Now remember that number for what we're going to get into in a few minutes here. So he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. This is why we are in the time of Daniel. Never underestimate the power of serving God privately and in obscurity, because that is an area in our lives where the Lord can condition us to proclaim his will publicly and do his will publicly. You see, one of the main issues today. Say hi to everybody because you have to go now. Okay. So, in today's culture, what we see, the main issues of today, are this Amazon two-day shipping, McDonald's drive-through, Burger King have it your way, TikTok virals. People do not want to go through the process and the trials privately for the Lord to use them in a greater capacity. They want to leapfrog right into being an influencer when their lives are out of order and a mess, and they have attempted to circumvent the process and not allow the Lord to build that resolve in them privately to gain the victories in those areas of their lives. So when they step out publicly, it is on a solid foundation built on the word of God and submission and obedience to God. For the Lord says obedience is better than sacrifice. I'll tell you this personally. 17 years, I went through this private conditioning and trials before the Lord ever allowed me to speak a word publicly. 17 years of private trial, of gaining victories privately, of conditioning me privately to hear his voice, know his voice, and a stranger said, well, I will not follow, and to do what God's telling me to do, no matter how trivial my flesh may think it is, just because God told me to do it, I do it. You see, I went through 17 years of that before the Lord ever allowed me to speak a word publicly. You cannot circumvent the process and expect you won't break under the weight of what you're given. You see, God makes it a habit out of using the powerless who are faithful to be positioned and then raised up to influence nations. Joseph, a Hebrew sold into slavery by his own brothers, spent 13 years in prison for a crime he did not commit, interprets two dreams in prison for the royal cupbearer and baker, and 2 years later, he comes face to face with Pharaoh and is put second in command of all of Egypt. Because the wisdom in Joseph could not be found in Pharaoh's astrologers, magicians, and his sorcerers. Joseph went through the process privately, arduously, before he was ever raised up publicly. The Hebrew midwives in Egypt, when Pharaoh gave the orders for all the Jewish baby boys born to be thrown into the Nile, their resolve to save them, their fear of God was greater than Pharaoh's order to kill them. And because of their resolve and faith, a baby boy named Moses was born, his life was spared, and he was raised up to deliver 2 million Jews from the wicked, oppressive hand of Pharaoh. In the book of Esther, Mordecai adopts his niece Esther after her parents die and raises her. Esther is positioned by God to enter the palace doors and become queen. Her and Mordecai are positioned when Haman, whose lineage comes from the Amalekites, manipulates King Ahasuerus into an edict to destroy the Jews on the 13th and 14th of Adar. As this is happening, Mordecai sends word to Esther, "Do not think if you remain silent, you will be spared of what's coming. Perhaps you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this." Esther and Mordecai's resolve delivers a Jewish nation, destroys Haman, and Mordecai is promoted from peasant to prime minister. See, God uses what the world perceives as a faithful powerless to be positioned and raised up to influence nations. These were all the examples of those who man perceived was powerless, but God perceived them as faithful and true and trustworthy to be promoted to influence the matters of kings and nations. God has the power to take what is insignificant and utilize it for his influence and his glory. He does this with people that know they belong to him. They know their identity in Christ. Even if they're in the infant stages of it, they know their identity in Christ. The level of influence you are given, that is left up to the Lord. And what he sees you can bear and you can carry well and you can handle. God gives what he knows you can handle. He doesn't set you up to fail. And he doesn't approve of you leapfrogging over the process because you want to jump straight into influencer and not go through the process of learning resolve, stewardship, faithfulness, submission, obedience. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in service to the king. The king has a dream. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that troubles him. He calls in all the wise men and astrologers. And in Daniel chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, he says this: "Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, 'O king, live forever.'" Why are they starting it this way? Manipulation. They're trying to get out of it because they don't have the power to do what Nebuchadnezzar is asking them to do, because only God has that power. "Tell your servants the dream and we will give the interpretation." Verse 5, "The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, 'My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap.'" Okay. So first of all, we can see from this that the king clearly has anger issues. And I don't think there was anger management back then to send kings to, but he clearly has got some serious anger issues on his hands. He's also testing them, because this is revealing as well, Nebuchadnezzar is not totally sold on the powers of the astrologers and the occultists and the magicians. Powers they proclaim to have. He's not totally sold on it. He wants to test them to truly see if they have the power to know what he dreamed without him telling them. So the king gives orders to destroy all the wise men, magicians, occultists in the land, which lumps Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in with this. So in Daniel 2, verses 12 through 18, "For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them." Verse 14, "Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree from the king so urgent?' Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel." So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. that they might seek mercies from God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. This is where the Lord is beginning to really draw the dividing line in the Babylonian culture between those who serve him and those who serve Marduk. This is where this line, this plumb line, is beginning to be dropped. So then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered. And before we get into what Daniel answered, Isaiah 11:2 says, "And the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord." You know, I pray that a lot, pretty much every morning. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would fill me and Chris this day with your wisdom, your counsel, your might, your power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. I encourage you to do the same. Because you have to grow in that to go where the Lord wants you to go. So in an identity-swallowing culture, in a culture that is hostile to believers, Jew and Christian, in a society that more and more teaches the young witchcraft, astrology, and the ways of the dark arts that we find ourselves in right now in America, the spirit of counsel, wisdom and knowledge that comes from the Most High God has the authority and power to cut through all that like a double-edged sword and expose truth. And that is what it's meant to do. It is meant to set believers apart. It is meant to separate the sheep from the goats in an hour of darkness, witchcraft, lies, operating in the dark arts, in an hour where we see this more and more, where you have Disney, BlackRock, and a host of others, Harry Potter and his freaking flying broom that he likes to fly around on, in a culture where you have that, and it's making it appealing to the younger generation. It's drawing them in to teach them that this is power. These arts are power. You see, Daniel found himself in that same culture. Him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in that culture. And instead, they operated in the spirits, the gifts of God. Wisdom, knowledge, counsel, strength, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. And what it does is that brings light, which exposes the weakness in the darkness. It exposes the weakness in the dark arts. It exposes the weakness in Disney. It exposes the weakness in Harry Potter. And that those are real spells and children being groomed and raised up to be taken into Babylonian service in order to be swallowed into Babylon and strengthened, and their gifts, talents, and abilities being used to strengthen Babylon, to strengthen those agendas. We are watching that happen today. So we today are in a culture that is identity swallowing, agenda hunting, morality subduing, and hostile to holiness and the things of God. Daniel faced the same thing. And he still operated amongst the astrologers, the magicians, the occultists. He operated in the spirits of God. He got his information and counsel from Almighty God. Even in that dark culture, his faith and resolve were firm, and he was able to hear from the Lord amidst all that warfare in the atmosphere, amidst all that oppression, amidst all those things being sacrificed to Marduk. Daniel was able to hear, because your faith in God and your resolve should transcend what is happening in the nation right now. It should transcend the dark arts and Disney and wokeism and transgenderism and manipulation through witchcraft. It should transcend that. Communism, it should transcend it. Daniel's faith transcended all of that. What was in Daniel needs to, in this season, grow in the church and in believers. The spirits of counsel, wisdom, knowledge, might transcends and subdues a hostile culture. When the true power of God is demonstrated and operated in, it will not only transcend, it will subdue a hostile culture. When Daniel operated in it, it subdued the king to the point where he fell on his face. That angry little Chaldean fell on his face before Daniel. We're going to get into that in a moment. Exodus chapter 7, verse 12. For every man threw down his rod and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So when they threw their rods down before Pharaoh's magicians and Pharaoh, Aaron's rod, because they all became snakes, swallowed up their rods. A demonstration and prophetic act and picture that Almighty God was going to swallow up Pharaoh and their culture. That was the prophetic warning. So it's similar in the book of Daniel as well. So I'm comparing the two. When this happens, because Pharaoh's court had the magicians, the astrologers, and the occultists. Nebuchadnezzar's court, magicians, astrologers, occultists. And so when Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh and they throw down their rod, and then the magicians throw down their rod and it becomes a snake too. So both became a snake. Where's the difference? Aaron's rod swallowed all of the rods of the magicians. And that was the prophetic warning from Almighty God, an act that he was about to swallow up Pharaoh and their culture in order for trying to swallow up his people into their culture. Now, Daniel seeks the Lord. King gives him time because Daniel has favor with the king. The Lord gives him the dream. The Lord shows Daniel what Nebuchadnezzar dreams and gives him the interpretation. And Daniel goes face to face with the king. Now he's been armed and equipped with the information by God. And now he goes before a very hostile, pagan, rageful king who happens to look down on the captives of Judah. So Daniel 2, verses 20 through 23, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked for you have made known to us the king's demand." So the first thing that Daniel does before he goes to the king is he praises God for the answer. He just doesn't run to the king. He praises God for the answer first. He gives God his due, his glory, and the credit for giving him the answer. Okay. Let me just do this here. I just put these side by side. Okay. So he gives God credit and glory first. Now, Daniel chapter 2, verses 27 through 28. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. And he goes into telling him the dream that he had about this statue, and it had different parts on it. It was made of different types of metals or material. And Daniel goes into that. So he gives the entire dream, and then Daniel gives the entire interpretation of the dream. And when Daniel gets done in chapter 2, verse 46 through 49, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face. This hostile, angry, aggressive, subduing king falls on his face prostrate before Daniel and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Verse 47, the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel, verse 48, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, I'm going to show you how two verses here are very similar. I have spoken a lot about 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 through 50, and we're going to focus on verse 47. Verse 47 says, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So that's 1 Samuel 17, 47. Daniel 2, 47. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. So these two scriptures are similar when two men of God were faced with a giant of a problem that threatened their lives. Both were in a hostile environment to believers, both facing two pagan nations that had an insatiable desire to swallow their culture. Both David and Daniel acted in wisdom and boldness of the Lord in the midst of hostility and threats, and the Lord delivered and promoted them both for it. Now, Nebuchadnezzar claims in verse 47, truly your God. Now that's it, because this is interesting, because we're in the 47th race for the president of the United States of America. 47th race. Daniel 2:47, the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. And this is because in the book of Amos, it says, surely the Lord does nothing until he reveals his secrets first to his servants, the prophets. And in 1 Samuel 17:47, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. See, it's very similar. The battle was the Lord's there. The king gave orders to kill all the wise men, including Daniel. The battle is the Lord's, right? The sword was sent after Daniel. The sword was sent after David. Both in verse 47, right? The rebuttal to this, of this happening, when they rise to the occasion and in boldness prophetically speak forth what is going to happen. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Israel didn't know that Goliath was going to die that day. David did, because God revealed that secret to David. The wise men of Babylon, all put together with all of their dark arts, could not reveal the secret, because God is the revealer of secrets. The occult is not the revealer of secrets. God is the revealer of secrets. So these two scriptures are very similar with the positions these two men were put in. And then we go to Daniel chapter 3. And this is where it's going to get real interesting for what we see going on today. So Daniel 3 verses 1 through 3. Nebuchadnezzar, so let me preface this for you. Nebuchadnezzar just gets a jolt of the power of God and how God operates by Daniel interpreting a dream that God told him that Nebuchadnezzar had. And he does it in detail. So after Nebuchadnezzar falls on his face and claims the Lord is the King of Kings and, he is above all, and Nebuchadnezzar goes through all this pomp and circumstance, let's go see what he's going to do in Daniel chapter 3, because he's going to renege on all of it. He's going to renege on all of it for a moment here. So Daniel 3 verses 1 through 3 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and width 60 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So this image, beginning in Daniel chapter 3, is 90 feet high. That's how much 60 cubits is. A cubit is from your elbow, I believe, to the top of your hand. That is a cubit. And so it's 60 cubits, which is 90 feet. So this image is 90 feet high, made of gold. This is done in a time of an identity swallowing culture, in a time Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have to work in a pagan court with astrologers, occultists, and magicians, with a madman leading Babylon. In a time Babylon was attempting to absorb all the strength of Israel into their culture to assimilate it in order to make Babylon stronger and Israel weaker or Judah weaker. In a time when Daniel had just operated powerfully in the authority and wisdom of God and not only told Nebuchadnezzar the dream he had, but interpreted it. In this time, that pagan practices and Babylonian culture are invading every area of the lives of the Jews who are captive, this 90-foot statue is erected. So now I'm going to put up this news article because this comes in now. Sugar Land. Isn't that interesting? Because sugar's not good for you. So isn't it interesting they would put this up in Sugar Land? Okay. Hindu temple now home to third largest statue in the U.S. And I'm going to read some of this to you. And I have brought this up before, but I'm going to tie it in even more now. A temple in Fort Bend. Now, isn't it interesting? The temple is in Fort Bend County, as in Bow, as in Bend, as in Bow. So a temple in Fort Bend County is now home to the third largest statue in the United States. The Sri Ashtulakshmi Temple, dedicated the 90-foot, 90-ton. Now, two 90s, right? 90-foot, 90-ton. I'm going to go back up for a minute. The height of the statue in Daniel 3, 60 cubits high and 60 cubits wide. Two 60s in cubits, which would be 290s, right, in feet. So they dedicated the 90 foot, 90 ton. There it is. There's the two, right? You have 60 cubits and 60 cubits, which would equal 90 feet and 90, right? It would equal 90 and 90. Now you have 90 foot, 90 ton statue of Union earlier this month. The statue depicts Hanuman, a Hindu deity who helped rescue the kidnapped wife of Rama, another deity and king. Hanuman is a symbol of uniting communities, uniting people behind a goal, said Vijay Sri Narasimhaya. That's, it's a very long last name. The temple's vice president. He's an example of a good spiritual leader because he brings people together. They're talking about the statue. Because he brings people together. Forward together. As the WHO declares monkeypox to be an issue, and as Kamala declares, we must go forward together. This 90-foot, 90-ton statue that is the same height as Nebuchadnezzar's statue is erected in America. They are raising this up as they did the Arch of Baal, as they did that golden statue of Ashtoreth atop the New York City Appellate Courthouse, 7 years apart from each other. That Arch of Baal and this Ashtoreth-looking statue were hoisted both in New York. And now, right before the DNC happens in Chicago, and they were to anoint their candidate with a Hindu middle name, Devi, this statue is put up because they want to open wide a gate over America, reopen it that has been closing. So that gate has been closing and they want to reopen this sucker wide. Now, how does Nebuchadnezzar tie to Ishtar and what we see happening with the golden image above the New York City Appellate Courthouse and that spirit that attempted to raise to the highest seat in the land? How does this all tie together? Well, there was something called the Ishtar Gate that was reconstructed in the Pergamum Museum. Pergamum is where the throne of Satan was. Okay, talks about this in the Word of God. So the reconstruction of the Ishtar Gate in the Pergamum Museum basically has fascinated visitors to Berlin's Museum Island for nearly 90 years. There's that number again. 90 foot high, 90 tons. And now you tie this to Nebuchadnezzar and the Ishtar Gate, and you hear 90 years. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar II is the one who constructed the Ishtar Gate. So Babylon built the gate of Ishtar. And in our nation, it's that Babylonian culture that hoisted that Ishtar-looking statue, also known as Ashtoreth, above the New York City Appellate Courthouse. Also, there's another way Nebuchadnezzar ties to all of this, and I'll show you how. So this Ashtoreth Ishtar-looking statue is placed atop the New York City Appellate Courthouse, January 2023. The New York Times headlines read, "Move over, Moses and Zoroaster. There's a new female lawgiver in town," and there it is. This 90-foot statue is raised August 15th, 2024, 4 days before the start of the DNC. That is 19 months apart. 19 months separates between when that golden statue was raised above the New York City Appellate Courthouse and this huge statue, 90 feet tall, is raised in Sugar Land, Texas, 4 days before the DNC in Chicago. 19 months. 1 + 9 = 10. Now, this is how this all connects. In the 10th year of Joe Biden's reign in high office, because he did 8 years as VP for Barack Obama, and then he did, by the time I had brought that this particular part up that I'm going to talk to you about, it was late 2023. So in the 10 years of Joe Biden's reign, they attempted to put Donald Trump in prison. Okay. Zedekiah, who Nebuchadnezzar installed as a puppet king, ruled 11 years before he was removed. It was in the 11th year of Joe Biden's time in high office, he was removed as the nominee for the DNC by the very people that installed him, just as Nebuchadnezzar had done with Zedekiah. This removal and fall came after Zedekiah, in his 10th year, attempted to put Jeremiah the prophet in prison for speaking truth about his reign and what Babylon was going to do. And in the 10th year of Joe Biden in high office, they tried to put Donald Trump in prison. Another interesting fact, 10 generations of man lived on the earth before the floodwaters came and swept away all those who were disobedient, because the earth was filled with Hamas. It was filled with violence. Hamas is the word for violence in Hebrew in Genesis. In 2023, the 10th year of Joe Biden's reign in high office, Hamas attacks Israel. Okay. It was December 2023 that was initially said. In the 10th year of Zedekiah, they attempted to lock Jeremiah up. This year is the 10th year Joe Biden has served in high office, 8 years as VP with Obama, and now 2 years as a stand-in puppet president. So 10 years. In the 10th year of Joe Biden, they attempted to put Donald Trump in prison. This is no coincidence. Zedekiah ultimately fell to Nebuchadnezzar and was removed from kingship. Jeremiah was freed and sent back to his land. So Zedekiah is ultimately removed by the very person that put him in as a puppet leader and disqualifies him as a leader and removes him by force. That was in Zedekiah's 11th year, and it was in Joe Biden's 11th year being in high office that they did that to him. And we saw this when the very people in his own party who installed Joe Biden into office, then by force remove him as the nominee to try to install Obama 2.0. Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. The 90-foot golden image that you have set up, we will not worship. Because Nebuchadnezzar expected everyone to bow to that golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. Okay. They refused to bow to this 90-foot tall blasphemous creation of Nebuchadnezzar's. So he orders them bound and thrown in the fire, and it made 7 times hotter than normal in Daniel 3:19. 7 times hotter. And the Lord made Nebuchadnezzar live in the field like an animal for 7 years. This is by no mistake because of how hot he made that fire was the amount of years God made him live in the field like an animal after this incident. 7 years also separates the time the Arch of Baal was planted in New York City before the 2016 election and the time the statue of Ashtoreth was planted atop the New York City courthouse, January 2023. And in that time, it has gotten much hotter in the nation. Much hotter. 7 times hotter. It is at a boiling point that is spilling over. Now, what happens here is God delivers them from that fire. He not only sustains them in there, the Son of Man is walking around in that fire with them. Jesus Christ is in that fire with them. And Nebuchadnezzar, let me tell you, he got caught with his pants down at that point. He did. He got caught for what he did and the smugness and the arrogance and the defiance that he operated in. There was no occultist, no magician, no astrologer, nobody in the dark arts that could ever do what Nebuchadnezzar saw happen in that fire. So God delivers them for their faithfulness, because they would not bow to such an image and would not let the identity-swallowing culture of Babylon consume their faith and resolve in God. Many capital Jews bowed that day to that 90-foot image. Believers bowed. Part of the church is bowing right now at the instruction of Babylon. However, and it was to music. You ever notice how the music has gotten in some churches? Nebuchadnezzar said, play the music. You know why? Because it opens up the soul. Because Satan was the minister of music in heaven. He had pipes built into his throat like organ pipes to sing the praises of God all day long. And Satan knows how music opens up the soul. So he influences Nebuchadnezzar first to say, play the music, and then have them bow, to open up their soul before they bow to this blasphemous image. And part of the church is bowing at the instruction of Babylon. However, it was the remnant that did a work in that nation, turned the heart of a haughty king and tempered his wrath and made him tremble, because not even Nebuchadnezzar was above the judgment and sovereignty of Almighty God. And neither are the leadership of this time. They are not above the judgment and the sovereignty and the protection that Almighty God gives his people. They are not above it. And though Nebuchadnezzar gave an order, a higher order came down from a higher court that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should live. Now I'm going to read this to you. This is from May 3rd, 2021. From the word of the Lord. This is over 3 years ago this word was given. It is on the Amanda Grace, the number 4 hymn.blogspot.com, this particular word, May 3rd, 2021. I am the Lord your God who stood in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I am the Lord your God who commanded King Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful king, to live in the field like an animal and eat grass for 7 years until he humbled himself and gave glory to the Most High God and knew his place. I am the Lord your God who raised a Hebrew boy named Joseph up out of prison to become the second most powerful man in all of Egypt next to Pharaoh. I am the Lord your God who took a shepherd boy named David and slayed a giant, a blasphemous, haughty giant named Goliath, and raised him up to be king of Israel. I am the Lord your God who took a hate-filled Pharisee named Saul and made him a new creation, raised him up as Paul to preach the gospel and write what you call the New Testament. I am the Lord your God who caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, who causes axe heads to float, who rained down fire upon an altar to demonstrate before the prophets of Baal who truly is God. That's capitalized, the Most High God. I am the Lord your God who sent my precious son Jesus Christ, who sits at my right hand, capitals, to be sacrificed for the sins of men so they would not experience eternal separation from me if they so choose. Because I so love the world, and I love my children, and so does my son. I am capital, and with every word that comes forth from me, capital, there is a power that can wipe out the entire earth, shatter the stars, create from a void, and cause mountains to spring up in a moment. I am the God who spoke, and creation was. Do you truly think, my children, that this battle in your nation is beyond me, is beyond my power? But your faith in me, capital, and my plan, my timing, capital, knowing my power is infinite and that I sit on the throne as the earth is my capital footstool, says the Lord of hosts. Your circumstances and what you face in your lives and in this nation is not, capital, too difficult for me, for I am your strong tower and refuge in times of trouble. I am far above every power, principality, or might. I will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me, even in an hour where darkness is making a huge push, where the enemy is attempting a strong advance. I, the Lord your God, have the final word, capital, for I laugh at the wicked, for they are dust in my sight, capital, and their God cannot save them from what is coming upon them in this time. For some will just drop to the ground and be no more, as they have touched the little ones, as they have hurt my children for the last time. Confusion, a heavy cloud of confusion, Babylon, Babel, coming upon leadership and the enemy's camp as they fiercely battle each other through such a fog. I, the Lord, am affecting their sight and perception, and they shall destroy their own, says the Lord. That was back 3.5 years ago almost that this word was given. And it ties directly in to the time of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the society swallowing culture, what we are going through. May of 2021, that is a portion of the word that was delivered that day. So we have to understand, in a society swallowing culture that has become a giant man-eating plant to swallow up people's strengths, to swallow up people's capabilities, to swallow it into them and forcefully assimilate them into a rebellious, idolatrous, pagan culture. Our faith should transcend that. Our resolve should eclipse that. We should be eclipsing it. The culture shouldn't be eclipsing us. And the Lord needs that from the church to do the work he wants to do in the nation, because half the church has let this society swallowing culture in modern day America swallow it and assimilate it. And now it's speaking forth the talking points of Babylon, just like the churches spoke forth the talking points, the 3,000 churches that did, of the Nazis in Germany. We have to transcend. We have to eclipse. We have to stand in our resolve, knowing that the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord dwells within us. And that when we stand in that resolve and don't allow society to just swallow us up, the Lord uses that mighty, mighty power of his through us to cut through, transcend, and drop a plumb line to expose how weak darkness is and how powerful the light of God is. And we have to get this, church, as we're coming into the home stretch here. We have to get this and operate in this. So please take this, pray about it. Grow in your resolve with the Lord. If he's dealing with you privately, let him deal with you privately. Get those victories now. Because you got to do that first privately before you can ever utter for him publicly. So praise the Lord for that. We're going to put these notes up on the blog at arcofgrace.org, on the ministry blog. I'm going to just give a few announcements right now. We'll do the Eric one too. But if we could put up my pillow for a minute. Here's someone who is fighting against the society swallowing culture. Mike Lindell. And yes, there is Duchess having her nap on a MyPillow dog bed. You can go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ARC. There's your action item. They are partners to save 66% or sometimes more off of all MyPillow products. They have robes, slippers, sheets, dog beds. They are so much more than just pillows. They make amazing gifts, and you are helping to bless Mike Lindell in the middle of what he's going through. So you can go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ARC today. Announcements, Arkansas. I'm going to be in Arkansas. I'm preaching at the Edge Church, 10:30 a.m. this Sunday, September 29th. So you could go to DwayneMiller.com to learn more and to sign up to come. Also, October 7th, Eric Trump will be here on Ark of Grace. Clay Clark will be with us as well. Get your questions ready. He's going to be answering viewer questions live. So at my discretion, we're going to be choosing viewers' questions. So please think about your questions and get them ready for that day. Also, the prayer line. If you need prayer, we have a prayer line that is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We have amazing women doing this prayer line. You can call one of the two numbers on the screen if you need somebody to pray with you and agree with you and help intercede for what you're going through. So please take those numbers down. Call the prayer line. We got some wonderful ladies doing that. Also, our newsletter and texting. If you would like to sign up for our text messages that are going to start going out, you can actually go to arcofgrace.org, and right there is the button on the homepage to sign up for the newsletter and for texting. So please go to arcofgrace.org. You'll see it on the main page. You'll see the button. It says newsletter sign up. You can sign up there both for the newsletter and the texting. Also, because people are getting so many fake messages from us, because they're pirating us, unfortunately, quite a bit, please, we're going to put up our social media handles for you. I have only one private Facebook page, right? I have only one. And so, and it's got the picture of Noble on the back. That's my only private Facebook page. It is an older picture of Noble with dirt on his face. And that is the only private personal one that I have. But we're going to put up all of our social media handles for you, so you'll know which ones are legitimate. Rumble, we are Ark of Grace Ministries. There's a green check mark. Also, and it'll say about, I think it says right now about 74,000 subscribers, if that'll give you a better point of reference on Rumble. At YouTube, we're Ark of Grace Ministries as well with an S. Facebook, we're Ark of Grace Ministry with a Y. Instagram, we're Ark of Grace 88. X, we're at Amanda Grace underscore AOG. TikTok is Ark of Grace Ministries. Telegram is the same, Ark of Grace Ministries. Truth Social is Ark of Grace Ministries. And Frank Social is Ark of Grace Ministries. So please, I'm asking you, if you can, like and subscribe. Go to these platforms and subscribe so we can keep in touch with you. Sign up for the newsletter as well, please, so we can keep in touch with you. We would love to hear from you, and we would very much appreciate that. And for the end tonight, before we end, we have animal picks. There is Gideon being a goof. I don't know. I think he's helping with chores. I think Gideon was helping with chores, and so basically he was carrying something for the girls. Oh, the chickens. So pumpkins happen to be very good for chickens and other animals. And so basically our team grew some pumpkins and they're putting them in their pens to ripen. And then they're going to basically cut them open and let the chickens just have a fall field day in their coop. There's the pumpkin patch that they grew so they could give all the animals, including the bunnies that we have, all pumpkin this year to eat. And there is Gabriel, our Flemish giant rabbit. Flemish giants are the largest breed of rabbit in the world, and he is an absolute doll. There's Chester on his computer scratch pad that our team bought him, because I guess they're trying to make Chester tech savvy. I don't know, but they're trying to do something and get him to be tech savvy. So this is their newest toy up in their cat area. And here is Miss Grace with her fly mask on, chowing down on her hay bag. As you can see, her fly mask matches her foot wrap almost. Grace, it does fight lameness on that foot, so our team treats it as well as our equine vet. And those are the animal picks for this week. We will make sure to have more for you as well. I've been doing some videos with the animals too that I'm going to send to social media. So we'll be sending those out as well. So thank you everyone for joining us tonight. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day, encourage you to say it every single day. We have other Psalms below that I think you should read. You should speak. The word of God is living and active. You have to develop the habit and the discipline of actually activating it, because it is living and active and current for every generation. It transcends time. The word of God transcends time. It is current for every generation. Also, Ephesians chapters 1, 3, and Ephesians chapter 6, which is the full armor of God. The Lord's Prayer as well in Matthew 6. Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. It begins with coming to God with praise and thanksgiving and reverence for who he is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is an order to approaching his throne. So please make that part of your daily prayer life. Praise the Lord. Oh, I feel like I ran a marathon, but praise God, we got through it, guys. So God bless everyone. We're looking very forward to seeing those of you in Arkansas. And then we're going to be up in Windham, New York. We'll announce it when we get back. That'll be October 4th. But thank you for joining us tonight. We love you. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Look for the shorts that are coming out this week as well. And we will be back on next week. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, and you can use promo code R10 for a 10% discount.